72 hours from now is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the season of Lent. Now, what I would encourage you to do today and tomorrow and Tuesday is to spend a little bit of time thinking about how you are going to observe this wonderful season that helps us prepare for the Easter feast. It is a time of great grace. It is a time of opportunity, an opportunity to grow more deeply in one's relationship to the Lord. And the church invites us to focus more clearly on our prayer, to be willing to put others first and do works of penance, and to be conscious of our neighbor and to do works of charity. The parish bulletin contains the worship schedule for the season of Lent, and I would invite you to look at that, and if there are times that work for you to gather for liturgy or for prayer as a community, please take advantage of those. So that's the first thing I'd like you to do over the next few days. The second thing I'd like you to do has to do with this morning's gospel. This morning's gospel is really about the sacrament of baptism. And it's really about Christian community. The real heroes of the story are four people who cared enough about their paralyzed friend that they took him in search of Jesus because they believed that Jesus could help this man. And even when they found it difficult to get access to Jesus, that wasn't enough to put them off. They crawled up on top of the roof of the house and they took off the tiles from the top of the roof. And then with their hands, they dug through the thatch until they had made a large hole, a hole large enough to let down a stretcher so it could be placed in front of Jesus. And then we're told, Jesus recognized their faith. Not the faith of the paralyzed man, but the faith of the four friends. The paralyzed man, nowhere in the story does he ask to be healed, nowhere in the story does he ask to be forgiven. The paralyzed man is not a person of faith. God, through Jesus, acts because of the faith of his friends. And then there are some very curious words that are used. Jesus says, "My son, your sins are forgiven." There are two words in Greek that are used to describe a child, a son. One is paideia, which simply means that there is a relational connection between this person and this person. It's the kind of word that you would use if you were outlining a genealogy. But the second word is a word technon, which is the word used in this passage in St. Mark's Gospel, and that is a very affectionate word. There's lots of overlay of affection and warmth with that word. And that is the word that is used of a newly baptized person. Technon, my child. and bespeaks a relationship to God that is affectional, that there is a strength and an outpouring in that relationship between this person and God. And the second thing is Jesus tells the person to rise up. And the Greek word again that is used in St. Mark's Gospel is the same word that is used to describe what happens to Jesus on Easter. He is raised up. And so what commentators say is that this passage in St. Mark's Gospel is really a passage that invites people to look at the sacrament of baptism in their own life, that intimate and that affectional relationship that that sacrament creates between themselves and God. They're to look at the truth that baptism draws us in, splices us in, makes us one with the suffering, dying, and rising up of the Lord, that in baptism we are raised up. And I would suggest, thirdly, that passage is about the people who bring people to faith. And that's what I want to emphasize for a moment before I conclude. How about if this Lent, anyone here who's a godparent, anyone here who's got a godchild, godson, goddaughter, how about if once or twice this Lent you sought to make a connection with that person? If you sought to make a connection with that person, to have a conversation with that person, to invite that person to have a conversation with you, and I would suggest, if you really want to do this well, to invite that person to at least once come to worship with you. I'd invite you to think about doing that. Because that's really what those four guys were doing when they brought their friend to Jesus. They were functioning as godparents. They were introducing this paralyzed man to Jesus of Nazareth. There's a lot of folklore among people of various ethnic and national groups. And one of the pieces of folklore that is present among the Lebanese people is that the last job that a godparent has is to stand at the door of heaven. And when their godson or their goddaughter dies and comes into the heavenly kingdom, their last job is to take that person by the hand and lead that person to the presence of God and introduce their godson or their goddaughter to the living God. It's a powerful image. It's a powerful image. So I would suggest you might think about it. If you have that kind of relationship as a godparent, you might try to find some time within the next 40 days to act on that, to reconnect with your goddaughter or your godson. Please stand.